Hello, everybody. This is Points on the Board. I am William Del Pilar, and I talk in the intersectionality of sports, culture, and politics. This isn't your typical sports show. It's a show where you learn and understand how progressives use culture, including sports, to continue to take our rights and slowly disintegrate our values. But having been in the sports world, getting paid for it, living the kid's dream, I do mix it in pretty well, and you will enjoy it, I am sure. Tonight's episode has us fighting more transgender battles, but we also have needless violence to talk about in the wrestling ring. An update on Iman Khalif, where is he? Then we'll hit the final whistle, which is my version of a lightning round. Part of that is today's political leadership. Talk about the classic pajama boy, rich, pampered, frat boy mentality, who's never built or led anything, can't even bench press 135 pounds. I'm sure you probably know who I'm talking about, but if not, tune in. We'll get to that later, because I do have to talk about that. Technically, I put it under the sport of weightlifting. But before we begin, do not forget the bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. Also, at grumblingsmedia.com, we do have our new swag. I'll be previewing a couple of the items here on this show that I would love for you all to purchase to help support our all-volunteer cause. Let's get right into it, my friends. We've got a story on the worrying health update for wrestler attack by Rampage Jackson's son. So wrestler Stuart Seiko Stu, he remains in stable but critical condition after a brutal attack by Raha Jackson at a wrestling event, with LAPD now investigating the incident. So it all went down last weekend at a private amateur wrestling event in Sun Valley, California. It was hosted by KnockX Pro. It was a pre-match. It's a pre-match meetup. Wrestler Stuart Seiko Stu Smith. So Seiko Stu, he smashed a beer can on Raha Jackson's head. He thought it was part of the show. And Raha, the son of UFC legend Rampage Jackson, he didn't like that. So he stormed the ring, body slammed Smith. This is a quasi WWE style format. You know, it's fake. So he stormed the ring, body slammed Smith, and unloaded 21 real punches to his head and face while Smith lay unconscious. Smith was rushed to the hospital with broken facial bones and missing teeth. Rampage initially claimed Stu was awake and stable. He lied. The father lied, defending the son. Now, both those boys will smash me down. But they're vile, evil. This father was willing to lie and say, oh, no, the guy who he beat up, knocked out, put in critical condition, he's fine. No, he's not fine. He wasn't awake and stable. Rampage is a freaking liar. His brother Andrew clarifies, Stu is in critical care, conscious, and slowly regaining memory. What Rampage was trying to do was to bring the heat down. No, he's fine, he's coming out, he's okay. It's not as bad as you think it is. He's trying to save his son, his boy. The family is asking for prayers and warning against fake GoFundMe scams circulating online. KnockX Pro condemned the attack as a selfish, irresponsible act of violence, the worst in their 17-year history. Translation, this kid is done. LAPD is investigating. A felony battery report has been filed, but no charges yet. Now, in a rare bright spot, Mr. Beast offered to help cover Stu's hospital bills, recognizing his service as a veteran battling PTSD. Look, at the end of the day, what this guy Raha Jackson did is just despicable. He ought to face charges, if that's possible. I mean, with LAPD investigating, who knows, but fingers crossed. I don't know all the legal details yet, but this thing's snowballing virally super fast, and that kind of pressure might finally force some action on this vile dude. And actually, we have seen that with LAPD now investigating. One thing's for sure, he's probably going to get sued into oblivion and his career done in every way imaginable. You better pick up a new skill quickly. As a conservative from a straight-up human rights angle, we got to stress personal accountability here. That's what conservatives do. We talk and we preach about personal accountability. Progressives don't. I guarantee you, they will scream the victim here. They will sit there eventually play the race card, which has nothing to do with race. It just has to do with a stupid human being. You can't just unleash that kind of rage without consequences. It tears at the fabric of a civilized society. And let's not forget to keep praying for Stu's full recovery. And let's push for justice to deter this nonsense in the future. All right. Bench press politics. Riley Gaines mocks New York City mayoral candidate over a viral gym fail. So Riley Gaines is mocking Zohran Mamdani's failed 135-pound bench press by posting a video of her lifting more weight. That's this guy will never live that down. He's not a man. You look at him, bro. You ain't a man. You ain't a man. I mean, your woman right now is probably looking for a man. So Mamdani was at Brooklyn's Men's Day event. Now, get this. Men's Day event. Mamdani should never have been there. I mean, the guy was he couldn't lift it without help. His spotter never let go of the bar. You saw his spotter was lifting it up. Mamdani. His spotter never let go of the bar. The footage went viral, triggering a wave of ridicule across social media. And obviously, Riley Gaines, who's a champion for women and keeping men out of women's sports. Now, that said, Riley Gaines is a champion of keeping men out of women's sports. I got to be honest, Mamdani might be the only man who could probably compete in women's sports and lose consistently. Anyway, she's a former swimmer and a conservative activist. She posted a 2022 video of herself benching 165 pounds. She weighed 130 pounds at the time. Her caption, quote, "I'm not saying we should judge politicians for how much they can bench, but I'm absolutely judging a politician for how much he can bench." Oh, man. And it's symbolic of what Democrats are, they're girls. They're men are not men, and he represents that. Even Governor Cuomo, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, the mass murderer of the elderly during COVID, allegedly. I don't think it's alleged. He forced those people in. You're a murderer, bud. Anyway, even Cuomo got in on the action, questioning his fitness to lead New York City. Current Mayor Eric Adams joined the fray, benching the same way unaided and tweeting 64 versus 33, a lifetime of hard work versus a silver spoon. The results speak for themselves. You go, bro. You go, Eric Adams. You go. Now, supporters of Mamdani, why are you picking my little brown friend? That's what I saw online. All of a sudden, it was a race thing because he's brown. I'm like, give me a freaking break. But my friends, at the top of the show, I said, this is why I do this podcast. This is how they slowly push it further and further left. You can't make fun of him because of his skin tone. Voters care more about rent than reps. It's true. Here's the problem. Your rents are going to go sky high. Sky high. Sky high. Y'all think you can't afford to rent an apartment without at least 3 or 4 people? Give me 6 or 7. I mean, this bench press flop is just embarrassing. How'd you get shown up by a woman lifting heavier than you while you're out there campaigning like some tough leader? Look, Mom, Donnie comes from a wealthy family with his mom being a famous filmmaker and all. And he's pushing the socialist agenda that's crashed and burned everywhere it's been tried. Yet here he is leading the polls to become New York City's next mayor after beating Cuomo in the primary. With Cuomo now running as an independent. Now, that guy's just as bad as Mamdani. It really shows how bad things have gotten in the city. Democrats have run it into the ground. And folks are desperate for any spark of hope. That's how Obama got elected. Bush screwed it up so bad, they got that moron in there. Yes, he was a moron. Why do I say that? Look at his policies and everything they created. They had to gin up the unemployment numbers to bring them down from 12% to 7%. Oh, man. I mean, he's getting more flack for this than being the anti-Semite he is. He's so anti-Israel. He's been caught making anti-Semitic statements, though he denies it. And don't get me started on Cuomo again. That whole nursing home mess during COVID where his policies led to thousands of deaths and got him slammed for the undercounting. This is what happens when you toss out discipline and common sense. You end up with soft leaders who can't handle the weight. Literally. All right, my friends. Let me show you a little swag here. This is my cup. I keep doing this every show. Oh, it's kind of heavy. Oh, it's a 135-pound cup. Oh. Oh, I crack myself up. I do. Anyway, you can get that cup at grumblingsmedia.com. Please support us. If you're a conservative, please head on over there. If you're a libertarian, there's some libertarian swag over there, too. It's a great cup, heavy duty, great logo, sharp looking, slick black with the red. Grumblingsmedia.com, or just swipe the QR code there, and it'll take you right to it. Let's move on. California schools forfeit volleyball matches amid transgender athlete controversy. This is right. This is my hometown. I want to say right down the road, but not really down the road. But, Riverside's not far. But multiple California high schools forfeited their girls' volleyball matches against Jurupe Valley High School due to the participation of transgender athlete A.B. Hernandez. Now, that's how our intentions over state laws allowing males to compete in female sports. So what's happening here, California's had it with the Democrats who rule this state. Democrats completely own this state, for those of you guys not aware. They have two-thirds majority in both houses, so whatever they want will get passed. That's why the ballot is heading to the congressional redistricting, and gerrymandering is heading to the voters. But high schools, because of the parents pushing, they're getting tired of it. And so what's happening is they're forfeiting matches rather than compete against teams who have men or boys pretending to be girls. They're citing concerns over female athlete safety and fairness. Now, Riverside Poly High School forfeited an early August match against Jurupe Valley, followed by Rim of the World on August 25th and Orange Vista on August 29th. And supposedly two other schools have quietly canceled matches. Now, A.B. Hernandez, y'all may remember, is the boy, who identified as a female. Hey, I got a strong woo, 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 woo. But I'm a girl at heart, so I'm going to compete against the girls and beat them. And the reason I get so angry is these girls have worked their whole lives. And what happens? This gets taken away from them. What's taken away? The honor and glory of winning, standing on the podium. This loser, A.B. Hernandez, has taken that away from them in track and field. Now he wants to do the same with volleyball. Now, there's something called the California Education Code 221.5F, and that mandates participation based on gender identity. I'm a girl who wants to play with the ball. No. I'm a boy, now I'm a girl. Yeah. So he gets to play with the girls. Now, Newsom's a hypocrite. See, I talked about it with my Fired Up California podcast. Check that out at grumblingsmedia.com or at the YouTube or Rumble. And he's like a tomato can. It's like he's getting a lot of traction because of his social media account, but he's so screwed up. I mean, you can destroy him on anything, and his shtick won't play. Once you get past the social media aspect, and people are forgetting social media is in the real world, as the Democrats found out with the Epstein files. But regardless, Governor Newsom has caused these scenarios as, quote, deeply unfair, unquote, but won't do anything on it. And he could, and that's going to come back to haunt him. So people are asking him, hey, you need to step in. The reason he said that, he wanted to show that he's a moderate, and he's not. Now, even Jurupe Valley, Hernandez's teammate, Alyssa McPherson, she's losing her senior season, she said, because of these forfeits. Her mother, Maribel Munoz, She publicly urged Newsom, do your damn job. Ban the mayors from women's sports. And addressed all these ignored complaints. So California rejected the Title IX resolution offer, and they continued to defy President Trump's February 5th, 2025 executive order. And they are paying the price, and they will keep paying the price, as they should. So what's all this resulting in? Ongoing forfeits, athletes being disappointed, and a rising backlash from impacted families. At what point are parents finally going to wake up and say enough is enough? Because there's only a handful of parents right now. It's not the majority, because most are staying silent. When does sanity kick back in here? The fact that Hernandez's mother, the boy masquerading as a girl, the fact that his mother's lashing out at the other girls' families during a heated school board meeting is just despicable, disgusting, and pathetic. She's insisting that her kid is in the problem. Yet it's her son out there destroying the sport with her full blessing. I don't know, maybe she wanted a boy. Maybe she's what's really happening, she's loving the attention through her son. In a way, we can't totally blame the moron. He's been convinced there's nothing wrong with beating up on girls. But the mother's actions, that's where you're going to, she's a demented fool. She might even be psychologically off balance for enabling this. This whole mess is a rotten fruit of California's liberal insanity, shoving gender ideology down everyone's throat and trampling on biological reality, fairness, and girl safety in sports. Hats off to those schools forfeiting. They're the real heroes protecting their daughters. Newsom whines about it being deeply unfair but does nothing, while Trump's executive order is a bold step to try to fix this nonsense federally. Parents, rise up before more kids get robbed from their dreams, especially if you're a father and you have a girl. Wake the hell up. I'm not done. Let's shift on over to Illinois' high school uproar over a transgender male on the girls' volleyball team. A transgender identifying biological male's inclusion on the freshman girls volleyball team at James B. Conan High School in Illinois, District 211, has triggered a community backlash over fairness, privacy, and safety. I'm sorry, conservatives are using the word trigger. When I hear trigger, I'll think, ooh, that liberal. So Township High School District 211 is facing backlash after a transgender identifying boy, biological male, was placed on the girls' freshman volleyball team. He's 6'4", no prior volleyball experience, and he was selected from the 70 tryouts to join the 24-player roster. So in essence, he took the girls' spot. The longtime girls' volleyball coach resigned after being required to include the male player. Good for that person, that coach. And this 6'4" young man is accessing girls' bathrooms and locker rooms under district policy. This is why Pritzker's another fat joke. God, that man disgusts me. I mean, the man can't even see himself when he goes tinkle. Is that fat and nasty? Actually, I apologize. He's on Ozempic or something like that because he has started to lose weight. Back to the story. Female athletes are uncomfortable with their arrangement. And you know what the school said? Well, if you're uncomfortable, you can change to the nurse's office. A parent protested, stating her daughter should not be forced to hide. August 20th, there was a special school board meeting, 16 speakers, and fell into chaos. Police had to intervene to restore order. This is no different than the Hernandez debacle in California. I'm sorry, but this is disgusting. The fact that some parents support this boy, 6'4", shows how pathetic our country is becoming. They're ignoring the obvious, destroying the majority by forcing the minority to be accepted. I'm talking numbers, not race. Again, ignoring the obvious, destroying the majority by forcing the minority to be accepted, no matter how unfair that is. 6'4" kid, a girl a few years ago, has suffered brain trauma. She's still vision issues to this day because of kill shot. That's when the volleyball goes, throws up near the net. Somebody jumps up, bam, spiked it, hit her in the head, knocked her unconscious. It was a male player against females. Again, at what point will parents wake up? At what point does sanity take hold? To make it worse, the boy's parents are unhinged. I have no love for these people. These real girls, biological girls, have worked for their dreams only to have them taken away by a pathetic excuse for someone born a boy who can't compete with other boys. So it chooses to beat up on girls. And let's be real, this isn't about inclusion. It's about erasing women's sports under the guise of progress, ignoring biological advantages that put girls at risk, and violating Title IX protections we've fought hard to establish to protect women. Where is transgender boxer Emin Khalif, who has disappeared amid the rollout of mandatory gender testing? So, Emin Khalif, who the transgender boxer who won the women's gold in the 2024 Paris Olympics, despite being identified as male, has vanished from the sport as boxing organizations implement mandatory gender testing. Algerian boxer Khalif was confirmed to have a male XY chromosomes. It was in a leaked medical report. And assessments by the IBA and WBO as well. Now, Khalif has ceased competition after dominating the women's 66-kilogram division. He's been gone from the ring for 13 months for over a year. Withdrew from defending her title at the June Eindhoven Box Cup following the chromosomal leak. He later posted about enduring challenges, silence, and waiting while vowing a resilient return. Now, Khalif cut ties with his Nice France boxing club and returned to Algeria. Former manager Nasser Yassef stated he has stopped everything and doesn't box anymore. Now, the World Boxing Organization mandated PCR genetic testing for all athletes over 18 to verify sex at birth for women's eligibility, effective immediately. And new Olympics president Kirsty Coventry pledged protections for women's sport amid rising concerns over fairness and obviously safety in boxing. You know, I actually feel bad for Khalif. He probably didn't even realize he was born a man, chromosome-wise, when he was younger. But eventually, you know, he found out. And if he's really ghosted from the scene, his sports days are likely toast. And if he tries to come back, those tests are going to hit him hard and keep him out of the women's ring. Look, the Olympics isn't run by American rules. So if folks here are all shocked and disbelieving, they're just clueless. The bottom line is men don't belong in women's sports. And contact stuff like boxing makes it clear, crystal clear why. Khalif was crushing everyone because he was bigger, faster, stronger, with way more muscle mass, bigger lung capacity, tougher bone structure, higher testosterone pumping through him, boom, 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 giving him that extra power and recovery, plus denser muscles, higher red blood cell counts for better oxygen flow, and even longer arms give him that reach advantage. All right, para mi Latinos out there, Latinos for Trump, ¿quién es más macho? Sabemos quién es más macho, Presidente Trump. This is my favorite swag right there. Check it out at grumblingsmedia.com or swipe the QR code there. All right, let's move on. A victim's lawyer slams NFL delay in Rashee Rice crash punishment. So a lot of these stories I've had in the queue, but the shows have been so hot and heavy with current news. I kept holding off, but some of these stories, I'm like, I got to get to these today. So NFL wide receiver Rashee Rice is under scrutiny because of his involvement in the car crash and the league's delayed disciplinary response. And there's broader concerns about accountability and victim justice. A lawyer for the crash victims, I think it was in a Lamborghini going super fast. Nobody died, but he kind of fled from the scene. And he's just a bad dude in this. Young punk kid. He was acting like a thug. And there were victims here. Now, crash victim Catherine Kushkendall, Mark Lenahan, the lawyer for her, he criticized the NFL for postponing disciplinary action against Rice. They're going to allow him to play despite a guilty plea. They have suspended people who haven't been found guilty. This was a guilty plea in March to a multi-vehicle crash. Okay, so what happened is this was 2020. He drove his 2020 Lamborghini Urus over 100 miles per hour while racing a friend on a Texas highway. And then he crashed into several vehicles, including Kujan Kendall's Uber, causing her multiple injuries before fleeing the scene without aiding the victims. Bad dude! He pled guilty to two felonies, racing on a highway causing bodily injury, and collision involving serious bodily harm. 5 years probation and 30 days in Dallas County Jail. He got off! Easy! There's a $1 million civil settlement was agreed upon, but he hasn't paid it yet. This delay is nonsense. Or maybe they're allowing him to play so he can pay her back. But this shows no empathy for the victims. I mean, man, the Chiefs have a brutal early schedule this season. I get that. But it does make you wonder. The NFL still got a soft spot for them, a.k.a. the fix is in. I mean, they hit the Vikings' Jordan Addison with a quick 3-game suspension in August, earlier August, right after his no-contest plea to wet reckless driving from the July 2024 DUI arrest. And that's on top of his 2023 speeding arrest. But where's the equality in how they met out justice? I think the fix is in. I think Chiefs have a tough schedule. They needed one of their better younger receivers there, and that's why he's playing. LSU freshman football player arrested for harboring murder suspects in his dorm. This happened a few weeks ago. But LSU football player JT Lindsey is facing felony charges for allegedly helping two murder suspects hide in his campus dorm. Obviously, this is sparking serious legal and disciplinary consequences for the freshman running back. So JT Lindsey was arrested after allegedly allowing two murder suspects to hide in his on-campus dorm room. This was back in May. 17-year-old Corey Brooks was murdered in Baton Rouge, prompting arrest warrants for Shamil Jacobs, 17, and Keldrick Jordan, 18. Surveillance footage showed Jacobs and Jordan using Lindsey's LSU ID and PIN to access his Riverbend Haw dorm multiple times. And guess what police found? Two AR-15 rifles, a Draco and a Glock. Huh, that's odd. So, early August, Lindsey turned himself in, faced two felony counts of accessory after the fact, the second degree murder, posted $5,000 bond release, and was indefinitely suspended from the LSU football team, as he should have been. My take is stop it. Lindsey saying he didn't know is nonsense. You know, in these spots, especially if they're your buddies, even though I've got no proof, I'm like, yeah, logic should prove he knows. We got to watch it unfold, got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But the school nailed it by suspending him. He was breaking rules anyway, giving them legal cover. They shouldn't have had access to his dorm room. Beyond that, this kid's dragged a violent culture to LSU, and they can't have that. What if those suspects had snapped and went down on campus with somebody else, another player or a student? You know, I've heard from agents and pros that once talent gets spotted, these kids are allowed to skate on anything. And that's the mentality this young man had. And that ego probably fried his brain there, and he wasn't able to understand the danger and how bad his situation was. It's a stupid move. That'll cost him likely his LSU gig. Maybe his whole career if he has NFL talent. If he had NFL talent and LSU drops him, he'll struggle to get on and somewhere else. I mean, this is like Aaron Hernandez vibes here. Another one here. Tennessee Lady Vols guard Ruby Whitehorn arrested on felony charges, pleads not guilty. There's a mindset in youth today. They think they can get away with everything. Tennessee women's basketball player Ruby Whitehorn is facing criminal charges stemming from a domestic incident, prompting legal proceedings and a university investigation, but she's still on the active roster. So Whitehorn, 21-year-old Tennessee women's basketball player, she's a transfer from Clemson, was arrested in early August following a domestic altercation involving burglary and assault. On August 10th, she allegedly fought the victim in a parking lot, then kicked in two doors to enter the residence, smashed the mirror, and took items like her phone and a passport. She claimed self-defense, stating the victim initiated the fight and withheld her belongings. She screwed up when she kicked the door down. She should have called the cops and had it dealt with that way. That's how it's going to play out in court. Her attorney says she's going to plead not guilty. She's actually guilty. There's no way out of that. The preliminary hearing was originally set for August 12th. Is now set for, I want to say, in a week or two from now. Now, Whitehorn transferred from Clemson to Tennessee as of May last year after the Clemson head coach was fired. So she committed under the new Lady Vols coach. And she's still on the roster with no report of suspension, supposedly with an investigation taking place. My take, look, the real issue is that Tennessee could end up on the hook legally if they keep backing Whitehorn while this plays out. Her chasing down the victim and busting through the door, screams of violent side that might not be new. From what I've heard time in and time again from veteran players and agents, again, once these athletes show star potential, they're rarely told no. And schools and coaches sweep these type of things under the rug if it means more wins, no matter the player's background. It's not black, white, green, red. It's any player that shows this talent. So this whole mess could blow up badly. Not just for her, but for the program, if the victim lawyers up with someone sharp, this is my take. Though the rest details the school's position, check out from reports. We will see what happens in the long run. Falcons owner backs Harris without primary votes, claims democracy under pressure. Idiot. So, Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank sparked controversy by publicly supporting Kamala Harris's nomination and voicing concerns about U.S. democracy is at risk amid criticism of the Democrat Party's decision to completely bypass democracy with open primaries. Who am I talking about? Arthur Blank, who everybody loves, who in this case is a moron, a freaking moron. He voiced concerns about U.S. democracy during a preseason game broadcast while supporting Kamala Harris' nomination despite her lack of primary votes. This was back in August of last year. I came across the story later. I'm like, I got to talk about this one. So he stated democracy in the U.S. is obviously under pressure. He's a lifelong Democrat, donated $3 million to Harris's campaign. See, I just found out about this. I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. $3.3 million to Harris's campaign. She lived large off your dime, you idiot. Gave the highest amount among NFL owners, even though Harris received zero votes in the Democrat primaries. Where's that democracy? Huh, Arthur? Arthur? Now we know why your team's a loser. Now we know why you're up 27-3 and lost in the Super Bowl to Tom Brady. Moronic leadership starts at the top with you. How many business owners are billionaires can't freaking business own their team out of a paper bag? Arthur Blank, that's who. The Democrat Party skipped open primaries, Arthur. They allowed Biden's delegates to literally anoint Harris as the nominee, bypassing traditional voter input. Blank's foundation may emphasize democracy-related initiatives, but he screwed the pooch here. Where was Blank yelling about democracy under pressure when the Democrats just plop Kamala Harris into the nomination spot without snagging a single primary vote? Or when they were leaning hard on Facebook to shut down conservative voices? And don't even get me started on how they twisted the law to go after Trump. The examples are endless. You're a freaking hypocrite, Art. You come off as a decent fella. But when push comes to shove on real democracy, freedom, and yeah, even getting some wins for the Falcons, you're just sad. Now, let me give you my take on Michelle Obama, Michael Obama, Michelle. Yeah, I'm kidding. It's Michelle. I think people have gotten her brother and her confused because her brother looks like a woman. Man, he's got these red lips. And it's just a fatter image of Michelle Obama. Anyway, she faced a backlash a couple weeks ago for her comments on WNBA rivalry. Now, her comments on social media was talking about hate toward young athletes and was made during some podcasts. She's trying to get past 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 viewers. She got like 100 million followers throughout her social media platform. Can't get squat to listen to her show, which tells you it was manufactured. It wasn't organic. How many of those followers are actually real? Anyway, it's ignited backlash because a lot of WNBA debates going on right now because of the contracts, the racism, the bigotry within the league itself. You know, so it's in the news. She gave a comment. People didn't like her making the comments. She discussed the challenges of social media hate for young athletes. It was the Off Smoke podcast. She talked about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, their rivalry. There is no rivalry. They're trying to make one. Angel Reese really is not very good. She's got one attribute. She can rebound, and a third of those rebounds are her own. Now, fans harshly criticized Michelle. Sarcastic responses like, quote, Michelle Obama is the first person I turn to for sports news, unquote. And direct calls for her to, quote, stay out of sports, unquote. Quote, no one cares, unquote. Quote, we don't care about their take, unquote. Look, this will surprise you. But she's got every right to speak her piece. You don't have to listen or acknowledge it, but she can toss out another stupid, ignorant opinion if she wants. Thinking Reese is on the same level as Clark just screams her lack of knowledge. And like Reese, Michelle plays the victim with the best of them. Fitness influencer slams Nike-backed Smithsonian exhibit on trans swimmer Leah Thomas. So a Nike-sponsored Smithsonian exhibit featuring transgender swimmer Leah Thomas has reignited national debate over fairness in women's sports, drawing criticism from public figures, and fueling broader cultural and scientific controversy. This falls under the, let's talk about race. Okay, but everything I tell you, if you don't agree with, makes you the racist. That's how the CNN host looked at it when Jillian Michaels brought it up. So Jillian Michaels criticizes a new Nike sponsored Smithsonian exhibit featuring transgender swimmer Leah Thomas, as well as some talking about, I guess, black and white sports. But I watched that segment, and I thought this was about Leah, so there was a disconnect I had there. But regardless, the Change Your Game exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History opened this past August, prompted visitors to judge if Thomas's competition on women's teams is fair or foul, and details gender testing methods like Y chromosome detection. Now, Michaels on CNN argued, it's basic science. Biological men competing against women is unfair, and questioned the exhibit's place in the Smithsonian, as did everybody with common sense. Not to mention Nike is sponsoring that, and they're the ones who are supposedly protective of women, and they're not. I mean, Nike favors left-wing talking points over condemning males and women's sports. Yeah, it wasn't about women, just do it. And Leah Thomas, for those of you who don't remember, she was like the 450th ranked man in swimming and was the number one woman. My take, what does this have to do with history? Nothing. It's a footnote, a blip, and not worthy of having an exhibit at the Smithsonian. Once again, another institution playing politics and taking a side. Jillian Michaels was absolutely correct to call this out. It's not rocket science that men have an advantage over women. What the hell is Nike doing? They say they support women, yet they are consistently pushing men to beat up on women in sports by supporting transgenders, boys, and girls sports. So good for Jillian Michaels and her conversation to conservative, her conversion to conservatism continues. Oh boy. Transgender athlete sues Swarthmore College and the NCAA for Title IX violations. So, a transgender former student athlete is suing Swarthmore College and the NCAA because they won't allow him to play and beat up on women, saying it caused him emotional harm and discrimination is tied to recent federal policy changes. So Evelyn Evie Parts, ironically, ran on the Swarthmore women's track. He's a boy. And cross-country teams in 2023 until 2025 graduation, filed a suit in Pennsylvania Eastern District Court claiming the NCAA's policy subjected trans women, a.k.a. boys, to segregation and ridicule. Now, this is because of Trump's banning boys against women. And she cites Title IX violations, which Title IX was meant to protect girls, not boys pretending they're girls. Look, I got to be honest. This makes no sense. There was never an issue before the woke culture made changes that were not based on anything but feelings. Nothing more than the feelings. The truth is, men dominate women, and the data proves that. Hopefully, this case can slam this pathetic door shut and not allow weak-willed and possibly mentally incapacitated boys from beating up on girls by playing and dominating women's sports. Ridicule is in every aspect of life. Yes, ridicule these men. Mock them. Shame them. Men do not belong in girls' sports. Trump endorses Roger Clemens for immediate Hall of Fame induction. So, former President Trump advocates for Roger Clemens' entry into the Baseball Hall of Fame, despite past steroid allegations. Now, Clemens achieved 354 wins, 7 Cy Young Awards, that's a record, 2 World Series titles, and 4,672 strikeouts, third all-time. But he failed to reach 75% voter support during his 10 years on the ballot. He peaked at 65%. That's because the 2007 Mitchell Report alleged Clemens used steroids and HGH, which I fully believe. And that led to a 2008 congressional hearing and a 2010 federal indictment on obstruction, false statements, and perjury charges, though he was acquitted in 2012 and never tested positive. Well, these guys are pros at hiding it. That's the problem here. Trump denied the allegations. Look, Mr. President, go jump in a lake. Stating no evidence exists. It's like the Barry Bonds all over. And Clemens performed exceptionally before the claims, urging immediate induction to avoid a possible scenario like Pete Rose's recent reinstatement push. Now, here's my take. And when I was thinking about this, I'm changing my I'm adding Barry Bonds to this take. But I got to double check Barry Bonds, so let me pull that back. But Barry Bonds may fall under a similar nature. I need to check out his data before his head got big. Let's be honest. Jose Canseco called Barry Bonds. He hit him on the head, literally. But let's be honest. Clemens belongs in the Hall of Fame. And yes, he did take steroids. But he took the steroids when he was on the clear downward trajectory. After leaving the Red Sox, he magically dominated again. But man, he was a fat ass. A nasty fat slob. And why do I say that? Because it was a nasty fat slob at the time I tried to say, oh no, my resurgence, my dominance is for my Navy SEAL workout. Then repeat, my fat ass resurgence is from a Navy SEAL workout. You don't look like a fat ass like he did, and you're doing a Navy SEAL workout. No. No. It was laughable. A steroid-taking fool. Should be mocked and ridiculed. And yes, he was a steroid-taking fool, in my opinion, back then, and I agree with that report. But before his steroid days, he was straight-up dominant, and that's why he belongs. And again, I'll check out Barry Bonds' stats before he got huge and big, and you can see the physical changes. Maybe he belongs in the same class as Clemens does. And that's my show tonight, my friends. Before I go, make sure you hit like or thumbs up and share this podcast. Then bookmark grumbliesmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the profile handle Grumblies Media. And again, don't forget to check out our new swag. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board, Grumblies Media's longest running podcast. Stay safe and make sure you draft smartly with your fantasy football leagues as the season's around the corner.